Good morning, church. I am Pastor Mike, and I have the privilege to bring to you this morning's message. You know, say what you want about the state of Ohio. One of the perks, at least in my mind, is the fact that we actually have different seasons, right? We have summer, which is usually hot when it arrives. There's more sunlight. You get to be outside. Maybe there's picnics, right? You get to enjoy creation and nation, and creation and nature, there's beaches. We're about to enter into summer, and it's not too shabby, is it? And eventually we move into fall, which is a reprieve from the hot temperatures, cooler weather. Outside is probably more enjoyable weather-wise. Leaves are changing color. It's beautiful. It is the start of sweatshirt season, right? And then we move into winter, and then the first thing that comes to mind with winter is snow, right? Cold weather, insides warm, fireplaces, Christmas, Christmas lights, hot chocolate. Usually there's no bugs. And then finally we transition into spring, where the world and nature kind of wakes up from being asleep during the winter. The days are longer, you can be outside again, enjoying creation, usually a lot of rain. You start to see the color green kind of emerging everywhere. In Ohio, we have different seasons, and I think that's pretty awesome. Just out of curiosity, whose favorite season is summer? Go ahead and raise your hand if you're a summer fan. Okay, there's some summer. What about if you are a fall fan? Fall is your favorite. Okay, where are my winter people at? Winter's favorite, a few. And those who love spring the best? Okay, what about those people who just love them all and can't decide and can't pick? Okay, yeah, there's those people as well, right? There's definitely perks and negatives to each season. And of course, you know that there is a journey, there is a cycle from one season into the next. And just like the seasons of weather that we have and how we journey from one into the other, there are seasons of life that we find ourselves in. And some seasons of life will be great and awesome, where you're thriving and this will be your favorite. And then we'll have some seasons of life that are kind of like, meh. You know, nothing great is happening, nothing bad is happening, but you're kind of wanting what's next. You want something more. And then there are those seasons of life that are really hard and really difficult. Those seasons will not be your favorite. And you may feel broken and you may feel beat up in some seasons of life. And I don't know what season of life that you find yourself in, but I do know that we are all in a season of life, and I know that we're all not in the same season of life either. You could be in a season of life like Ruth in chapter 1. Ruth had hit rock bottom. She and Naomi, they lost their husbands. They were widowed. They had no job. They had no means of financial support. They had no provision. They really had no hope. In Ruth chapter 1, there is heartbreak, there is loss, there is really deep and real pain. And then Ruth makes a decision to leave her home of Moab and to go to Bethlehem with her mother-in-law, Naomi. You may be in a very hard season of life, like Ruth was in chapter 1. Maybe you are in a season of life like Ruth was in chapter 2. This was in Ruth, she was in this waiting period. She worked and she waited. She served and she waited. And instead of selling her body like most women would have been forced to do, she went out and she worked in a field gleaning. She worked in the field of a man named Boaz, and she served God faithfully, waiting on God to do something, to move. And maybe you are in a season of life where you are waiting. You're here, but you want to be there, but you're not. And so you're kind of praying and you're asking God to move, but ultimately, you're waiting. hasn't happened yet. It's not done yet. Maybe it's a season of transition from this to that. And understand that even this season could be pretty hard, and it could be kind of messy. It's unknown. Are you in a season of life like Ruth is in chapter 2? Maybe you're a little further along in your waiting like Ruth was in chapter 3. In chapter 3, we see that Ruth, well, she does a few things now. She initiates. She is finally at a point of, hey, I am ready to surrender my will and my desires, and I'm going to finally take some steps of faith forward. She puts herself in the path of Boaz. She makes herself available to him, and she trusted God, and she waited. Maybe you are in a season of life like Ruth in chapter 3. You have finally given yourself over to, you have surrendered your desires and your will to God. And now you're ready to take some steps of faith forward. You can initiate some moves. You're testing some doors to see what God has opened and what God has closed. You can see that God's doing something and he's moving and you're ready for it. Maybe you're in that season of life, like Ruth was in chapter 3. And maybe you are in a season of life like Ruth in chapter 4. And God has just moved, right? The goodness of God is on full display. Ruth, in chapter 4, she is redeemed by Boaz, this man of God. Boaz marries her. She is redeemed by the goodness of God. And all of the community can see this. All of the community is a witness to this. And they are all celebrating God's goodness. God had showed up. God did his thing. And life is good. Nay, life is great. Life is great. And maybe you are in a season of life like that. And I praise God for it. But I do hope you see that just like the seasons of weather, that there is a journey from chapter 1 into chapter 2. And there's a journey from chapter 2 into chapter 3, and a journey from 3 to 4. And if you are in a season of life like chapter 1, I just want to tell you, and I want to encourage you, that God sees you, and that God loves you, and that God is with you. And if you are in chapter 2, if you are in the waiting, in the in-between, I want to encourage you to stay faithful and keep trusting. If you're in a season of life like chapter 3, I want to encourage you to surrender yourself to God. Right? Look for what God is doing. Test some doors to see what's open and to see what's closed. And if you are in chapter 4, I pray that you discover, just like Ruth, that God's plans are better than we can imagine. God, he is able to do immeasurably more than what you think or dream. And this is certainly true for Ruth. At the conclusion of this story, because God is able and because God is not done, God is about to blow Ruth's socks off yet again. And for Ruth, I don't think that she has a clue about what God is going to do next. But when you look back at her journey, every step of the way, Ruth had faith, and she trusted, and she took a step. And she had faith, and she trusted, and she took another step. And she kept doing that over and over, step by step. Life is like these little faithful steps. And eventually, she discovered that God's plans are better than what we can imagine. Let's just look and read about what God does. This is Ruth chapter 4, starting in verse 13. So Boaz took Ruth into his home, and she became his wife. When he slept with her, the Lord enabled her to become pregnant, and she gave birth to a son. Then the women of the town said to Naomi, "Praise the Lord who has now provided a redeemer for your family. May this child be famous in Israel." May he restore your youth and care for you in your old age. For he is the son of your daughter-in-law who loves you and who has been better to you than seven sons. Naomi took that baby and cuddled him to her breast, and she cared for him as if he were her own. The neighbor women said, "Now at last Naomi has a son." And they named him Obed, and he became the father of Jesse and the grandfather of David. From the very beginning, God has just been gracious to Ruth. God was gracious to Ruth back in Moab, and his grace continued with Ruth as she moved to Bethlehem. And his grace continued as God guided her into Boaz's field, where Boaz fell in love with her. God's grace was with Ruth as she placed herself at the feet of Boaz. And God's grace continued as the nearest kinsman rejected Ruth, which then allowed Boaz to step in line next. And then as she marries Boaz, God's grace covered her, and God's grace continues to be poured out on Ruth by now allowing her to conceive and have a baby. And church, let's understand something here, that grace is not something that is something that we earn or we work for. It's not warranted, it's not deserved. It is a gift that is given by the giver. God chooses to give us grace out of his love for us. It has nothing to do with anything about us. It has everything to do with him. It's all about him. Just consider Ruth's journey here. God had taken Ruth, a foreigner from Moab, to a stranger working in a field. God had taken her from that. And then God made her the wife of the owner of the whole estate. And then the cherry on top, because that's what our God does, he does more, and now he makes her the mother of the son who is going to inherit the whole estate. And God did that simply out of his goodness and his love for Ruth. God had given Ruth more than she could imagine or dream. And this baby Obed would be a restorer of life to Naomi. And the whole community, they saw this. If you remember from chapter 1, when she returns home to Bethlehem, and she tells the whole community, "Hey, don't call me Naomi anymore." Naomi meant pleasant. She didn't want to be called that anymore because she felt that God had given her a very bitter hand, and that's what she wanted to be called, Mara, which meant bitter. God made it very difficult for her. But now, the whole community saw just new life for Naomi. Not only does she have Ruth, whose love and devotion has been better than, as the text tells us, than seven sons. And now Obed is here. And the future and the hope is here. Obed would be a huge blessing to Naomi, not only in the sense that she gets to be grandma to this little baby and just the joy that this baby boy would bring to the family, but one day Obed is going to continue the family line. Obed would be the one who provides for the family, who would care for the family, who would protect the family. He's the one who is going to lead the family and take care of Naomi. God has graciously provided everything that Naomi needed because of simply his great love and goodness towards her. God had given Naomi more than she could imagine and dream. She thought her life was over. But God, our God is able. He is able to do immeasurably more than what we think or dream. That's true for Ruth, that's true for Naomi, and that's true for you and I. And now this next part, This next part, this is where I feel like maybe, you know, like God shows off a little bit here. This is super cool. All right, let's look at what God does next. Look at verse 18 with me now. It says, this is the genealogical record of their ancestor Perez. Perez was the father of Hezron. Hezron was the father of Ram. Ram was the father of Abimadad. Abimadad was the father of Nashon. Nashon was the father of Salmon. Salmon was the father of Boaz. Boaz was the father of Obed. Obed was the father of Jesse. And Jesse was the father of David. See, not only would Obed be a huge blessing to Naomi and to Ruth, and a restorer of life, but he was going to be a huge blessing to the city of Bethlehem, to the entire nation of Israel, and he would be a huge blessing to the entire world. You see, the name of Elimelech, it had almost disappeared in all of Israel. But from this boy, Obed, would come his son, Jesse. And from Jesse would come David. So if you're tracking with me, that means Obed is the grandfather to David. And David would eventually become king. He would become king. He would be one of Israel's greatest rulers. And David was a man of great faith who God used to build the kingdom of Israel. And yes, David had his faults, just like you and I. But all in all, he was a man who was after God's own heart. And David, and God had used David to overcome Israel's enemies. God had used David to expand Israel's wealth and to expand their kingdom. God had used David to unify the nation and to teach a nation to honor and follow God. Truly, Obed and his line and his family was a huge blessing to Bethlehem and the entire nation of Israel. You see, Obed, the son of Ruth and Boaz, would also be a blessing to the entire world. If you go a little bit further from the family line here, Obed was the father to Jesse, and Jesse had 8 sons, and the youngest was David, King David. And if you follow that line, just keep on going down from the next to the next to the next. Soon you're going to discover in Matthew 1, that this is what it says. Boaz was the father of Obed, whose mother was Ruth. Obed was the father of Jesse. Jesse was the father of King David. Keep following that down. It says, Jacob was the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary, and Mary gave birth to Jesus, who is called the Messiah. The greatest gift ever given to this world was when God put skin and bone on and came to this world in the person of Jesus, who is called the Messiah. Jesus, God in the flesh, he came to this world to save it, and he lived a sinless life, and he died for our sins, and he provides a way for all people to be saved from their sins so that they could too experience the goodness of God, that they can experience the grace of God and the love of God. And Jesus rose again to life, and he's coming back one day so that ultimately, if people choose, they can experience real life here on earth and that they can also experience life eternal with God forever. Obed, the son of Ruth, is an ancestor to Jesus, the greatest gift ever given this world. I mean, isn't that just like our God to do immeasurably more than we can think or dream? Truly, God's plans are better than you can imagine. And as we wrap up and we conclude this book of Ruth, I hope you see the journey of Naomi and Ruth. Their entire lives in chapter 1 were just unraveled. And then at the end in chapter 4, we see their lives are put back together again. At the beginning in chapter 1, they are disconnected from their community. And then in chapter 4, they are reconnected to their community and their culture. At the beginning of chapter 1, we see that they lose their husbands. They lose the hope of children. They lose their future. And at the end, in chapter 4, we see that they have gained a man in their family, and they gained a baby in their arms. In chapter 1, there is a deep cry of just feeling forsaken from God. And then in chapter 4, we see that there is hope, and we see that there is future. And they are filled, and there is a great celebration to what God did. And church family, this is what our God does. Right? He takes the brokenness, he takes our sin that destroys us, and he makes us new. He makes us whole again. And this is available to you and I if we do what Ruth did. And what did Ruth do? She pursued God. Right? She said yes to God, and she took a step of faith. In chapter 1, she said yes to God in the midst of her brokenness, and she took a step of faith. In chapter 2, she said yes to God in the midst of her weight, and she took a step of faith. In chapter 3, near the end of her wait, as she took some initiatives, as she checked some doors to see what was open and closed, she said yes to God, and she took a step of faith. And then chapter 4, God did what God does, and God made her new. And church family, just like Pastor Kirk said last week, life is little faithful steps. And the steps you take today will determine your story tomorrow. That's true for Ruth, and that's true for you and I. So the question is, what steps are God asking you to take now? What's your next step? I'm going to invite the praise team to come back up. I don't know what chapter of life you are in. I don't know what season of life you are in, but I do know that it's not over, and I do know that it's not done. I know that God is still working, and I know that God is still moving. Church family, my encouragement to you is continue to say yes to Jesus. Continue to pursue Jesus, no matter what season or chapter of life you are in. Take steps of faith, and then just watch. Just watch to see what our God does. He can do more than you can imagine and dream. Father God, we are just, oh man. I pray that we are overwhelmed with your goodness and your love. God, you are too good to us. God, and I just thank you for this story of Ruth. God, I thank you that we got to see firsthand, God, how you took her from where she was and how you made her new, how you restored this family. God, I pray that we find great hope and great encouragement through this story. God, thank you for allowing us to experience your word. God, and as we reflect on our own lives, Jesus, I pray that our heart's desire is to pursue you, to say yes to you. Even if we're in a really bad season of life, or if we're in the waiting and the in-between, or God, if we're ready to take some steps, God, I pray that no matter where we are in that process, God, that we could be faithful to you, and that we could continue to take steps forward. God, for your glory, for your honor, not for ours, but for yours. God, and may we look back at our lives and just see all these amazing things that you've done for us. God, may that give us great courage and boldness. God, you've proven yourself over and over and over. God, may we be excited for what you're doing in our lives. God, thank you for allowing us to be a part of your kingdom, your world. God, thank you. God, and as we reach out into other people's lives, God, help us to love well and to show the same love and to show the same grace and compassion and mercy that you showed us. God, help us not to be afraid to step out into the messes. God, thank you for all that you do. It's for your glory. It's for your honor. It's in your precious name we pray.